the platform. Step up and speak out.
You're tuned into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. The name is Larry Kwedelai. It is the platform, and it's just gone 29 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. I'm with you until 9 p.m., but in the first hour, of course, we are talking about, it is the platform, and then in the last 30 minutes, we'll be having health matters, and we should be having guests, and as far as the cholera drive we've been talking about over the past couple of weeks. We've still got a couple of weeks of that in hand. But about the show today on the platform, just to remind you, first of all, of the frequency you can listen to us on Chivu 99.8, Kama TV Wange 105.1, Pipe Bridge 106.1, Mutora Shanga 97.6, Mashingo 96.1, Gweru 104.3, Bulawayo, my hometown, 106.7, and we're broadcasting out of Harare, where our frequency is 106.4. If you want to listen to us over the internet, it's www.zfmstereo.co.zw via Instagram, the TuneIn app. Download the TuneIn app via whatever app store that you use, and then just look for ZFM Stereo after you've downloaded it. And of course, we are on live in the studio, our WhatsApp number being 0731 168 045, and our call number, which is already open, is 0772 168 045. Now, Harare presented its budget statement yesterday. The city of Harare's budget statement is under the theme City of Harare 2019 Transformative Budget Towards a Smart City. It's a 472 million budget, which was presented by Councillor Lakson Mukunguma on Monday, as I say. We played it last night, but today we have a representative from the City Council and one from the Harare Residents Trust. And first of all, from the City of Harare, I'd like to welcome the Acting Finance Director, Stanley Ndemira. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And also joining us today, the Harare Residents Trust Director, Professor Shuma. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, listeners. Thank you very much.
Okay, so I'm going to start. What has been said a lot is, I'm going to start with you from the City Council. What has been said a lot is that this is a pro-poor budget. How is it a pro-poor budget?
Indeed, my friend, it's definitely a pro-poor budget. If you look at it, someone would think probably it's a populist budget, yet in fact it's definitely a pro-poor budget. We looked at the economic environment and we realized that residents don't have money. They are struggling. This budget has been prepared against a background where we are experiencing, as a country, severe liquidity crunches, high unemployment, inflationary pressures. So in that respect, we thought we would not be taken by the winds that we're experiencing, whereby prices are just going up in a manner that one finds very difficult to understand. So we thought, as council, we will not be there to stop the pressures of inflation by just running with the winds of inflation, which would not even benefit the residents. So we decided to keep all our fees, charges and rates as they were last year. So we thought in doing so, we have managed to cushion the poor against the inflationary pressures they are currently experiencing. Thank you very much.
Okay. Your response to that statement, Shumba?
The City of Harare budget is not what we would term pro-poor budget. The budget maintains an elitist approach. The rates being charged, while they are maintaining the approved figures in the 2018 budget, 2017 budget, 2016 budget, they are failing as a council to recognize that what they have been getting from what they have budgeted, there is a huge deficit, and that deficit ends up being accumulating debt to rent payers. As long as there is accumulating debt, it is an overburdening budget that leaves the rent payers burdened or saddled with the debt that they don't hope to pay off. The current campaign by the council, which we have supported fully, of a 50% rates discount promotion is a realization by the council that without offering such incentives, they would never be able to get what they have budgeted for. So we are hoping that from the lessons learned in the past 5 years, they would be able to come up with a budget that recognizes that what they continuously budget, they budget on the high side, and yet the ratepayers pay around half what they budgeted for. So household bills needed to come down by at least around 30% to be able to reflect the capacities of the ratepayers to pay to the council. The promotion that is ongoing has somehow motivated some people to pay, and we believe that the council just needs to tweak around how they relate with the ratepayers in partnership with the organizations like residents associations, business and other stakeholders, so that at the end of the day, residents have a motivation to be paying their bills. But that must not be the major source of funding for the council. They have strategic business units which they must be able to leverage, and these must be able to cushion the ratepayer.
Okay, so it's 0772-168-045. That's our call number, on our WhatsApp number being 0731-168-045. We are talking about the budget, and we have already got two different areas that have been spoken about. The city council says, this is a pro poor because we kept the pricing at the same level. But the response is, even at that level, it was expensive. What's your response to that?
This budget, the name is, by the way?
Larry.
This budget has been static, I think, for the past 6 years. And during those 6 years, I think prices have been going up, and we've kept it at those levels. Now, if I were to probably take advice from my colleague here and probably reduce the budget by, say, 30%, when inflation is escalated from maybe below zero to about 25%, 21%. Really, I don't see those kind of rates being sustainable, being at levels that will enable us to deliver on our mandate as city. We need to deliver water. We buy chemicals, 9 of them. They are all imported. I hear you. That's fine. But really, I thought probably you could see the other side. Because really, to reduce that budget by, say, 30%, 50%. The discount offer that we made, that's common everywhere. Discounts can be offered. But discounts, for them to be to save the purpose they are intended to, they should be only for a period. That is just about, we did it for 90 days. Of course, with advice from the resident associations to say, can't you consider probably giving extending by another month? That we have done. We will always listen to them. They're our colleagues. They help us keep on track. But it remains my position that really the budget is poor. Rates, if you look at them, they are being rated at zonal levels. A person in high density, the rate amount is just $5. You add probably $5 for sewerage. Then the rest is water consumption. The average bill there, we expect it to be between $20 and $30. I'm not saying it's low, but that's the cost per month. Now, bring that down again to say $15, then we need to, we've borrowed heavily. As long as you intend to undertake capital projects, you need to borrow. You borrow long term, then saves your debt on a long term basis. We've bought a lot of safe delivery assets. They need to be serviced. Our capital charges they offer, probably they're hovering around 15 million per year. So we need to look at that. So if we try to be more populist, we end up defeating that which we intend to achieve. So, yeah, I hear my brother, but really, We are very much satisfied with the budget that we have given our people.
So that position, you want to respond to that? Go ahead.
Yes. You see, it is very important that public institutions respond to the expressed needs of the target population that receives the services offered by the local authority. It is not for the benefit of individuals, but the broader society. So primarily, you see, around the rates, what we are talking about is counter that. Look at the recruitments that have taken place in council. For example, ahead of the 30 July elections, despite the council saying they do not have money, they proceeded to recruit around 120 people for the Harare Municipality Department, Security Department. Where do they get that money? Then they have continued to borrow. And before they borrow, they are not consulting the ratepayer. So they cannot justify the increase or maintenance of a high rate on the basis that they have to repay a loan. The loans must be legitimate in the eyes of the ratepayer. So what we are saying, the council needs to leverage its position based on its assets. One of their major assets is the Harare Quarry. The second major asset is City Park. The third major asset is Harare Sunshine Holdings. The investments that they are benefiting from, like the infrastructure of the city parking, is an asset of the ratepayer. But surprisingly, political parties have petitioned parts of the central business district for their own personal benefit that is benefiting political parties. Youths, yes, they can be accommodated elsewhere as part of the broader populist agenda of satisfying maybe supporters, but they should not use state city assets as the basis to gain support. For example, parts of the areas from Angwa Street up Nelson Mandela to the First Street, there are nearly 100 or 200 parking bays which have been surrendered to a political youth group. And if you go to areas like this road that comes from Jameson Hotel in the Central Business District up to Jason Moyo, that area has kind of also been surrendered to youths belonging to another political party. And coupled with other spaces in the Central Business District that have gone to either government departments or other state entities, how much is the council losing in the revenue by trying to be populist? Because we would expect that part of their revenue would be that these political parties have paid for the expected revenue that would have been lost by the local authority. The city of Harare cannot donate parking space to political actors on the basis that they use that space. So we would want the council to leverage and stop burdening the ratepayer by making them pay for such expenses as accommodating youth from political parties. Then the third aspect, 50% in their budget statement, they are stating that they have been able to work around reducing non-revenue water from around 56% to around 52%. That is insignificant. So 52% is a huge amount of water that is lost from the 400. It means that from the 400 megaliters that they are treating using the 9 chemicals that he referred to, about 200 megaliters are lost daily through leakages and thefts along the water distribution network. And our call to the council is that they need to focus on a replacement of the underground water distribution pipe, because we cannot continue to invest in the pump station Moton Jeffrey, where the Chinese have given us a loan in the 72 million came and another 72 million remains. What is the purpose of the infrastructure of council if they do not prioritize where they are losing more? 52% of water being lost, it means that only around 48% of treated water is reaching intended households, beneficiaries. The rest are having to resort to private water sellers, to private community water boards. This means that the council needs to be considering all these aspects. And when we come to refuse collection, the city has been unable to provide this essential service, yet they are able to charge ratepayers on a once a week refuse collection. Where is the difference going? And that is our major contention, to say council can motivate ratepayers by demonstrating that they are pursuing the government agenda of devolution and devolving their own system.
Okay, well, I want to get the opportunity for the Sendemira to come back on this. I'm looking at the budget here on the water and sanitation hygiene program, and we're looking at a budget of 51,856,200. And water pipe replacement is put at 10 million, Moton Jeffrey and Prince Edward rehabilitation at 3 million. Then, of course, you're talking about the filter replacement before we talk about issues such as prepaid water meters and stuff like that. Mm. 10 million for, you know, this issue about pipe replacements, about, well, in fact, where will these pipes be replaced? Is this going to be all over the city? What areas are being targeted?
Thank you, Larry. I really, I'm properly guided by the submissions from my colleague. There is a need to look at our distribution network, which has outlived its useful economic life. We have put that 10 million in, it's massive, and there is more besides that 10 million which is in the capital budget. There's another amount that is in the revenue budget, which amounts to about another 8 million. Then there is the other 72.2 million that is still outstanding that we are expecting in the 2019 budget from the Chinese loan. The greater component of that amount again will be channeled towards pipe replacement. So the idea is really to capacity allowing, is to replace. We know the plan is in place. We know the problem areas that where we lose a lot of water, but otherwise the broader plan is to replace the entire pipe throughout the city. But obviously that you cannot do that overnight, given the rot that is currently obtaining in the city. So it's really, the plan is for the whole city, but this is the beginning. This is the anchor budget that will probably catapult us to that thrust that we intend to achieve of being a world-class city by 2025. So really, that is the program, Larry.
And given that sort of scenario, there's so many things that you talked about. Yeah. For example, the fact that the areas of town that he says are inaccessible for people
let me respond.
Can you respond to that?
He started by talking about our recruitment of quite a number of employees in order to join our municipal police. We have not recruited for quite some time now. I think we last recruited maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And if you look at it, our municipal policing is being outsourced. So we felt we could recruit our own municipal police and save on what we are currently paying to the private providers of the service. So there's no loss of value. If anything, there is additional value to the city. Borrowing, there's a process that we undertake before we borrow. Council passes a resolution. We advertise for 21 days in the paper, inviting objections from the ratepayers. If they don't object, even if they object, we still have to submit the same to the Ministry of Local Government. They look at
what we, why we intend to borrow the level we intend to borrow at, thus satisfied, having satisfied again the requirement of the act whereby we consult residents. I think we've borrowed, we're not that heavily borrowed. Of course, the intention to borrow is there, but we're not that heavily borrowed because of the current economic environment does not allow us to borrow long term, because the tenure generally of the loans these days is you are looking at about 3 to 5 years if you are lucky. So we have consulted residents. Then there is the quarry that is mentioned. That SBU is doing extremely well. That's where we are getting all our stores these days. It has been actually rejuvenated. We borrowed 4.5 million. It's now responsible for the supply of all our aggregates, stored aggregates, which we are now using in the repair and maintenance of our roads. It's now being run by a professional body. That's a success story if you talk of the quarry. I would love to take my friend to that place. City parking remains 100% owned by council. Yes, he mentioned those things, but really, yeah, I thought I'm not privy to city ever donating a space to any political party. That's not possible. But you know, if there are some youths who are probably doing this and that, which is really not exactly, which is outside the police line, that does not constitute a donation to political parties of any space. We are responsible for providing space to government entities in a legal, within a legal framework which is in place. So at times when you see these spaces being occupied by state organs, it's really not like we donated to them. That is being done legally, and it is according to the laws, the municipal laws. Then he mentioned the pipes. We've talked about those. 72 million, yes, the other part is coming. Refuse collection, he says, well, there are days when we probably don't collect. Then I am not sure of a system whereby if we don't collect, then we have to adjust the tariff accordingly. But what I know is what we urge our residents to do is if we don't come to collect, just keep all your bins within you, because the federal will come and collect. But there are instances where residents, rather than keeping the garbage with them, they dump elsewhere. So if they dump, what it means is city of will still have to collect to clear those dumps. At the moment we are seized with the clearing of the dumps. I think we've got a program that is in the offing, which will take place next week. I'm glad you might have read that. Probably even the head of state will partake into that. So those are the dumps that we need to clear. So again, resources will go towards the clearing of the dumps, in spite of the fact that we may not have managed to collect consecutively as promised. But in the end, the responsibility of collecting garbage rests with the council, and it will always collect whether it is still on the premises of the residents or it has been dumped elsewhere. We still need resources to clear those dumps. So in the end, the saves will be provided. I would expect my colleague to actually help us to say, parrot our narrative, where we are saying, please, if council does not, if they miss a collection, don't dump. Keep your refuse with yourselves. They'll still come and collect you.
Okay, 0772-168045, that being our call number, and our WhatsApp number being 0731-168045. We're going to take a quick break. When I come back, when I touch on our other issues, there are figures that have gone up. And there also is a couple of things that popped my eyes out. There's a $1.5 million that's been assigned for an interesting project, and that has garnered a lot of interest over the internet. It's CFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town.
The platform. Step up and speak up.
You're still tuned into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. We are on until 9:30 the hour with the platform, and afterwards we will be doing health matters. And on the platform right now, we're talking about that budget. Like I said, it comes under the theme transformative budget towards a smart city. I also want to touch on that issue around what is a smart city, what are we trying to achieve with smart cities and things of that nature. Just to say, we've talked about certain rates that we're saying are stagnant, but water tariffs have been adjusted up by an average of about 19%. And also you got clamping tow away and storage charges have gone up 100%. And, you know, although there are other fees that you say have stayed at the same levels, such as property tax tariffs, business licensing fees, market fees, and rank, disc, and route authority fees, people will always then still look at that and say, as much as saying we're being pro-poor, it's 100% increase, first of all, in penalties. And then not only that, 19% on my water.
So you see with what we are witnessing, the issue of parking in the central business district, the issue of congestion in the central business district has always been very topical with the urbanization and increased population. Given the socio-economic challenges, a lot of people have moved into urban centers, and a lot of people are involved in the informal sector. So they come into the central business district. The spaces in our Harare central business district are very, very limited. So a lot of motorists do not have space to park their private vehicles. The coupled with the increase in the number of commuter omnibus operators who have been given route permits to come into town, there is actually no space. What this means is that the city of Harare, instead of finding a punitive way of dealing with that issue, they needed to give us an alternative space where parking could be provided, or an alternative way, like we in South Africa, we have other parking spaces with maybe bays going up 3-4 floors, where public transport operators and even private can get in, park and leave the CBD. However, the city of Harare has not offered us a solution. Their solution is to capitalize on the influx of motorists into the CBD. Our CBD is not expanding, and that is a major threat to public safety, because while they have a Harare Municipal Police and a traffic section, these are not being used. You see the congestion we witness daily in the central business district. Instead, we are seeing Zimbabwe Republic Police, that is the state police, being involved. So what becomes the role of the municipal traffic police if they cannot enforce traffic bylaws in the central business district? So the solution is not punishing the people by increasing claiming or towing fees, but the solution lies in a harmonized approach of creating safe space for parking.
Mr. Deperet, your response to that?
Yeah, thank you very much. We have increased water tariffs by 19%. This, in essence, is meant to ensure sustainability of the supply of the product. But if you look at it from another dimension, you find that this increase is counterbalanced by the removal of fixed charges. We are no longer charging fixed charges, which we were going for about 5 for the poor, for the low density. So really, if you even out the two, you find that really, otherwise, there isn't an increase at all.
I've got to ask this, though. How is this improving the quality of the product? If you're saying we're losing roughly 42% of it right now, isn't it going to be cheaper to lose less rather than charge people for a product that potentially they're not getting?
That is the reason why we have not really proposed astronomical increases, because we know that people really, if we are to increase beyond 19%, all we are saying is we are punishing those who are receiving the product. You see, so the way we thought we could do is really to look at our budget and come up with a budget that tries to address these water losses. So the budget before you, the budget that is before everyone, is trying to address exactly that, the loss of water. Then if we address that, the loss of water, then you find that more water will be reaching many people than intended. We must admit, we've got a lot of non-revenue. That we cannot be gainsaid.
Okay, that is not a dispute at the moment.
Right. Then we come to the clamping and towing.
Mr. Schumer can, if he chooses, he can never pay a cent towards these penalties. Look at it. We are proposing a smart city. So on one hand, we are saying we want a city that is world class, where we have got less congestion in the city, and where our everything is automated. All our systems are automated. You mentioned South Africa. We're trying to go there. Well, that's the way we're trying to get it at South Africa, but we must start from somewhere. He mentions limited space in the CBD. So as council, we must do something so that really CBD is not a place. I think it should have been last time that he must have, my brother should not have been, I don't think he enjoys driving through the CBD. He doesn't enjoy. No one enjoys. But these days, you can actually enjoy. I don't think there's someone who can really stand up and say, today, the order that is just panning out in the CBD is bad. It's bad for business. It's bad for everyone. It's bad for Zimbabwe. No, that's a milestone from where the jungle, that the mayhem and chaos that used to characterize trafficking in the CBD. We have made strides in correcting that. As for the charges, these are optional. You pay if you want. Why would you worry about someone who is errant, who is willing just to break the law? If you go now along Julius Nyerere, can't you see people parking on the islands there? Such lawlessness. And then we say we need to caution. That would be then. Where they should park, let's take it as our challenge, both of us. Not to say really probably sit of Ferrari, but let's do it within the context of the limitations that currently exist in the city. We cannot come up with miracles probably and just come up with a 15-story parking space today. That is not possible. But the least we can do now is to try to make sure that everyone probably is cautious about where he parks, how he drives in the city. Your voice, it just has lawlessness, which many a time has resulted in the loss of life in the CBD. But as of saying, go and park elsewhere, we still have a challenge. We need to come up with those high-rising buildings that we are talking, parking base that we are talking of. But that is long-term. But short-term, there must be order in the CBD.
It's 0731-168-045. I've got a message here. Why is City Council keeping on pumping money into Martin Jaffrey, built in the 60s, instead of build and invest a new treatment plant for the Harare and also put a mini hydro plant at the water plant, because they can't keep saying we have no electricity pumps. The electricity pumps are down, and they have a water body they can make use of, same as Caribbean, which they solely rely on. So that question, why not create another a place besides Morton Jaffrey?
If you look at our budget, we are starting with the Great Twin Dam. We've already provided about 3 million for that. And we are bringing in exactly what you've described, a mobile treatment work. That will definitely be in place, I think, within the next six months. We are now looking at getting water, slightly medium to long term, from Msami, from Kunzi. Those are the sources that we really feel that once they're taken on board, they should be able to ease the burden of, poor supply of water in the city. So something is definitely being done. But then you find that the responsibility for the construction of dams rests with government. But the treatment works, those are ours. Already, we've got a partner. I may not probably share more about it. About the Kunzi and Msami dam. Plans are at an advanced stage to bring those two sources on board. So we are definitely doing something about that. But as for the Clear Twin Dam, those are low-hanging fruits. Within the next 6 months, at least we'll be seeing something.
And the one major issue that council evades in engagements, in discussions, in budget consultation, is the question of the deficit. They place the heavy burden of debt on the laps of ratepayers. The majority of the ratepayers pay averagely half what they must pay, that which appears on their monthly bills. That alone is evidence that the council is budgeting on the high side, knowing that 50% of what they have budgeted would be the actual collected. in the last 5-6 years, that has been the trend. In terms of the Urban Councils Act, after every 5 years, there's that possibility of irrecoverable debt, because it becomes bad debt when people have not paid for a very long time. But that is not an option. The major option that the council has, which is in their control, is that they need to readjust the figures by around 30%. Why do we say 30%? When you are looking at the establishment of the council, the major statements by the former mayor, Bernard Manyenyen, that he raised repeatedly was that the salaries budget for the city of Harare was highly unsustainable. Of the 13 million that they were collecting, around 10, 11 million was going towards salaries. And council has a deficit of around 5-6 months. They have not been able to pay their workers. Why would they maintain a high, sometimes unproductive workforce when they have the option of letting go those who have reached retirement age? They have the option of introducing, if they want a smart city, they need to introduce a biometric system of monitoring their workers to ensure that they are productive for the time they are working for the city, rather than the current situation where you go into the district offices, you go into council premises. There is chaos in terms of professionalism. There is arrogance. There is lack of customer care. And that is not the character of a smart city concept. So when we are talking of a transformative budget, we need to be looking at the attitude, the performance management, their expenditure management. We must be deploying resources where they are efficiently utilized. And in this instance, what they are simply placing on their accounts books are huge debts by ratepayers, but not considering the abilities or the capacities of the ratepayer. So what we are looking at them in a devolved state, government has said they are devolving governmental powers. Our expectation is that through the 80 zones that have been created by the city of Harare in a decentralized model, the budget needed to be coming from the bottom, going up, rather than for the technocrats like him trying to maintain a certain position.
But there is a question that we must ask. I mean, at the end of the day, the city, I think that was answered to say the price of stuff has gone up, and this has impact on the service that can be provided.
No.
Is it? No, just a question.
Mm-hmm.
Can we expect the same? Let's face it, if they're debts, they're there. So we're going to have to pay for them. So we can't sit around and say, oh, there's a debt. Now, I'm talking about the city council as a whole having a debt. I'm not necessarily talking about individuals.
Mm.
How do you marry the idea? And in fact, before I carry on with that call, I want to get our first call in. You're live on ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, and where are you calling from?
Good evening. My name is Tito, calling from Harare. We continue to hear that a big portion of the cost that the city council incurs goes towards chemicals for water cleansing. And the reason being that sewer water, raw sewage flows into the water source. Are there any long-term plans to divert the sewer discharge away from the water source? Thank you.
Thank you for your contribution. So, can you respond to that question?
Thank you very much. I don't want to lie here. We are structurally configured in a manner that currently make it extremely difficult to probably redirect the flow of our sewage. But what can only be done is really to properly refurbish our treatment works. The model that we're currently using is being used elsewhere. It can work. We can really end up really not even polluting our water bodies. But there are things that we need to do in order to avoid that, rather than to say probably we can redirect the flow of our, that is structurally impossible at the moment. But we need to look at, again, part of the 72 million that we're expecting is for the rejuvenation of our field. All the pumps there, they must be up and running. Our crop treatment works, they should be up and running, treating water, recycling the water, going into Chivero Dam clean and coming back to us again. That's an acceptable model the world over. So my answer, short and precise, is that at the moment there are no plans. But what the plans that are there are those that are enshrined in this budget, whereby we intend to rejuvenate, refurbish, renew our treatment plants.
0731 168 045. I've got two questions. The first one, statements. Residents should learn to pay for services. Council must consider this as the approach to revenue collection. And then Tapua Mungani on Twitter says, how many jobs will the municipal budget create? What policies is the city going to adopt to make it a competitive place in terms of cost of living and doing business?
Thank you, Larry. The budget before you seeks and aims at exactly what residents and my colleague is talking about. He talked about the biometric system. Again, that is the smart city concept that we're trying to move towards. See, whereby we are highly automated, less human intervention in all our systems. So all that is starting with this budget. This is a milestone budget. We've not captured a budget in this manner before. It's an ambitious budget which sets tone for future budgets. So exactly that is what we are trying to do. That's exactly what the smart city concept that we're trying to bring about here will definitely address most of the issues that have been raised by my colleague. Culture. We're already at an advanced stage. We've got some consultants who are working with us. We must admit we've had a very bad culture over the years, but culture is everything. Culture is everything. So we're looking at that. Steps have been taken really to correct that, but I love it when it is being raised by our partners, yourselves, me, for the state, the residents association. They help us keep on track. So we're again addressing that. Thank you, Larry.
And quickly, I know your brevity is not your biggest point, but the issue of prepaid meters, because that's the one that they're talking about. What is the position of the Residents Trust on that?
We did a research as We Pay You Deliver consortium, I think 6 months ago, plus 68% of the rate payers across Zimbabwe, including in Harare, said prepaid water meters are not the best option given the incapacity of the city of Harare to deliver water to 100% of the consumers. And what we have said as Harare Residents Trust is that prepaid water meters have not been the priority. The priority has to be the dealing with the underground, the distribution network, that is to increase the water that gets to ratepayers, because the basis for that is the loss of revenue. People are not paying. So to them, the solution is introducing prepaid water meters, but that must not be the basis. The basis must be to improve efficiencies in the system.
Okay, let's ask, I know that their rates for, and as far as prepaid meters are concerned, are those going to be compulsory, mandatory? What is the case going to be?
Larry, if you talk to those who are already using prepaid meter, and if you were to ask them today to move back to the conventional meters, they'll tell you no. They're very happy with the prepaid meters. They are now paying less than they used to pay when we were charging them through the conventional meter. So that is the position. Again, when you talk of the smart city, here we're talking the management of issues into the hands of the residents. You need to manage your water. You need to consume the water that you want to consume. You need to pay what you want to, for only what you want to use. So that's where we are going. That is the smart city. The business of really going from house to house, reading meters, probably overcharging residents, and residents are not happy. We should move away from that. And there is no way you can run away from prepaid meters going forward.
So are you saying that are they going to be compulsory?
At the moment, they are not compulsory. But I tell you, you'll find that others will very soon be asking for the installation of those people. They are not compulsory at the moment. But we will try. Many residents have approached us, asking us to give them those prepaid meals. At the moment, they're not
compulsory. Do we have figures of what's out there and how many we expect in the next year?
We wanted to install about the budget allowing. It will be on an incremental basis. You're looking at about, say, 100,000 or less. But depending on how people will be receiving the program. If people really feel, those who feel really they're not comfortable with the prepaid meters, we are not really foisting on the residents.
So, Larry, you see where our major problem is. The history of the council, like he admits, there is a culture of underperformance. There is a culture of unaccountability. And that is what we are basing our objections on. You see, yes, we can maintain a certain figure, but is that a realistic or achievable figure? What we are placing on the residents is a very ambitious budget that is not remotely achievable. So what we are saying is they introduced a 25% ward retention fund with the hope that every ward would receive 25% of the revenues generated in that respective ward. Unfortunately, the policy, while it was very good from a very populist perspective and from a very pragmatic perspective, it did not kick off with very few wards actually receiving the 25% due to them. Why? Because what they budgeted was never attainable, even when it was a 10% policy. So what we are arguing for is they should not create things that are not practical. So in terms of practice, you need to create policy that responds to practice. So practice has taught us that what they budget is highly unattainable, unachievable, and who benefits from that? The little money that gets into the coffers of council ends up all going into the pockets of workers, and the council becomes like an employment agency and not a service provider. And that is our major concern.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to finish off. Remember that project I was telling you about? We're going to discuss it after the break.
The festive season is right here.
Hit them up, hey. Get them up, hey.
Blowing
them
up.
We on fire. Step my money fast and go fast.
Banging the best music in the nation.
The city don't sound like the city does.
Number one, rocking the station.
But if you play it in your 100 feet, I swear it'd be the sound of the city does.
Happy holidays on CFM Stereo.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
Z. The platform. Step up and speak up.
You're still tuned into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. 0731 168 045. Let me do that again. 0731 168 045 being our WhatsApp number. The council must trim its executive and a duplicated manpower for a start. And 0772 168 045. I just missed your call right now when we took a break. Please do try to call back again, and let's get you on air. Now, there is this $1.4 million that's been set aside for a new stadium. Why?
Thank you, Larry. Well, as Sito Farrar, in fact, is a black government, Sito Farrar operating in an independent Zimbabwe, we have not yet come up with any stadium. That stadium, the concept there is that's a budget, but we don't intend to see residents funding it. We've got plans with our sister, between sister cities like Berlin, I mean Munich, Bayern Munich. So we were talking to them. They intend to do something for us. So we thought maybe to keep it on the radar, let us just capture it in our budget. But really, we don't intend to burden residents with the construction of that modern city. But where our twin sister also with the wherewithal to assist us. They've indicated to us that they can do something for us. Definitely we need to put it on the radar. So that's the purpose of that stadium.
The question then becomes, there's so many things that you could say to your twin sister. This is what we need actual assistance on. Why not focus on those issues?
Yes, we are. The other areas that we're running with them, they're like our GIS and other. But you see, there's certain organizations that have got special interest in a certain area. Like here, you're looking at an organization, our twin sister, who wants to promote maybe sport. They're just interested in sport, in helping us develop our sport. You can't then say to them, no, yes, sport fine, but we've got other priorities. Please channel your funds towards pipe replacement.
How about renovating the ones that are there? I know you've put a budget of 120,000 for installation of bucket seats at Rufaro Stadium. Yes. Why not say to your sister, we've got Gwanzura and a couple of other stadiums that, now football teams in Harare are finding it difficult to play at the same time, Premier League level football teams, because the city council has just not maintained their stadiums.
Yeah, but you look at the significance of the amount. Because really, if you were to ask someone from JMA to assist you, just put those buckets in Faro, that's something that we thought as council we can
do. No, I'm just talking about it. Could you not have talked to them about saying, we actually have stadia? For example, international football teams like Tottenham Hotspur, we'll just say on the same stadium. Manchester United said on the same stadium, we will fix the same stadia and make sure that they become world class. Why build a completely new one?
I think that's another way to look at it. But here, we are looking at something far bigger than the current stadium, the stadia that we have. There is limitations around Faro Stadium. There are limitations around Gwanzura Stadium. You can't come up with a world-class stadium around Gwanzura because of the location.
So what happens to those stadiums?
They will continue to use them.
No, but I mean the status they're in.
Then that's why you find
that. Will they be renovated?
If you look at our budget, we've put a lot of money towards the renovation of those stadiums in 2019. See, okay. But the amounts involved, they're not that significant.
So you see, one of the major shortcomings of the city of Harare and most other local authorities in Zimbabwe is that they do not have a method to achieving what they want. They do it based on perception and unverified opinions. So they need to rely on evidence, on empirical evidence to justify their decision making. So there must be a system to how they make decisions. Ziwara Segwa has a stadium, like you are rightly pointing out. They could be finding a lot of other partners to probably adopt one wing, one bay, to say you are sorting it out. They advertise, they make money as a council. That is
okay. While we're on that, can I just get this call in? You're live on ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, and where you're calling from?
My name is Thomas.
Okay, what's your contribution? Yes, go ahead. Tare. Hello? Hey, Tare, Tinswe. Not sure what happened there. But yeah, just quickly finish off on that.
Yeah, so I was saying they need to develop a systematic approach of reaching their decisions. Currently, they don't have a system that you can see from outside. So that affects how they reach their decisions. Currently, there are a lot of capable researchers that they could engage within their council. There are a lot of people. They could fully utilize those people to anticipate developments. For example, we have our Ward 1, Harare South. It has been there. As it started off as an illegal settlement. We have Headcliff. So in the current residential areas, we have infills that have been taken up. The people have come into those areas. That is burdening our infrastructure. But when you are reading their budget now, you don't see that anticipation.
Yes, okay. I'll ask this question. World-class stadium, let's say it's created. And now the national team comes to Zimbabwe. I mean, every time it comes to Zimbabwe, it plays there. Or international teams want to play because we have an alternative to some of the better World Cup stadiums within the region. Is that not a point where, you know, it's not just infrastructure, but it's actually generating revenue? Would that not be something that's laudable?
Exactly.
If they built a new stadium?
You see, the sport is big business, but do they have that creativity to be able to go outside the predictable way of simply saying we are placing figures? So they have become so predictable that...
Okay, can I get the response there? Because
you see, where we have been creative, we are then again accused of not being creative. He admits it really makes sense. It's big business. We're trying to tap into that big business. Then again, you locate lack of creativity. We say we'll not bid in ratepayers.
Wow. Well, budget.
Yes, you have to keep it on the budget. The budget does not necessarily be... The budget, you know, the purpose of the budget. It keeps you focused, you see, so that you don't lose track. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that is going to come from the ratepayers. But I'm glad you have said you are happy with us. He said we don't have... We don't plan. We have planned very well in our budget. We have started very well. We have tried really to... We have a history. We will not run away from our history. But we are taking care of our history. We are reversing that.
Okay, let's just take this one. Okay, I just missed the call there. But I want you, from the Harare Residence Trust, while I wait for this and we round up. In a minute, tell me the two things you like about this budget.
I think in this budget, as a council, the officials, they were more forthcoming in terms of trying to get ideas. And the second thing is that probably on this budget, they were more like, we want to try. But one thing that is missing in this is they have come up with the decentralized model.
Okay, so the first thing was what? They were more forthcoming? They wanted to try what?
The officials.
And the second thing?
The second thing was the officials were more like listening.
Okay, so that's it. We're going to take. We're now going to be to round up. And on your end, what can you promise the city of Harare by the end of next year?
What I can promise is really they will see a marked effort, a departure, a drastic departure from history. What we've started is what we'd like to continue on that trajectory, listening, being a listening council, taking residents on board. When we craft these budgets, they're not our budgets, they're for the residents, they should benefit residents. So I promise that we'll always take heed of the advice from the residents. That is what will be major going forward.
That's the voice of the acting finance director for the city of Harare, Stanley Ndemera, as well as earlier before him, Harare Residence Trust Director, Professor Shumba. Thank you both of you for coming in.
Thanks.
Stay tuned to ZFM Stereo. We're going to take a quick break. When I come back, is Health Matters. And we'll be discussing as far as the efforts that are being made in as far as targeting issues around cholera, particularly what was done in as far as Zimbabwe's, Harare rather, was concerned. Stay tuned to ZFM Stereo. We're back just now.